Welcome, welcome,
Matt Howie.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
Okay, welcome to episode 86 of the Metafilter Podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Jessamine.
And I'm Josh Cortex. That's right.
Yay. So we are back talking about everything that happened in October on this November 1st.
The last 3 weeks of October.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
We recorded on October 7th.
Yeah.
A little late.
Super lazy. Okay. Sweet.
Sweet.
All right. So let me see. You want to just go right into projects?
Or projects?
Halloween recap from last night? Anything good?
Yeah, how was it? How were you guys' Halloween? My Halloween was like, we turned off the light and locked the door and pulled the shines and watched TV.
That sounds great. Did you watch Halloween-themed TV, or did you just...
What did we... We watched a couple episodes of House of Cards, actually. You know, politics is kind of scary.
House of Cards gets scarier, actually. I think House of Cards is really good.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. We're down to like, we just got to the second to last episode last night, so it's been ramping up well.
Wow.
I won't tell you what happens, but yeah, it's...
I appreciate that.
It's pretty good. I was surprised. I was like, oh, Washington intrigue, drama, I will hate this. And, you know, I think Kevin Spacey pulls it all together and...
especially Kevin Spacey with like a fake Southern accent. I was skeptical for the first 2 minutes. I was like, every friend says this is great. I put it off for 6 months. And,
right, yeah, me too.
Because I think it came out in January, because that's when friends started raving about it. And I didn't watch it till May or June.
Yeah, and it turns out it's like a great thing for the gym, because it gets like your heart beat up, like, oh, these fuckers, what's going on?
And and then I guess there's a second season? That starts in January. That's around the corner.
No, this is Netflix, so starts means entirely comes out, I presume.
Right.
Yeah, right. Fully baked.
And it won an Emmy, right? I think it was the first straight to stream series that won an Emmy.
Was Orange is the New Black also Netflix, or was that Showtime?
Yeah. No, it was them as well. Same thing.
Okay. I can't watch the lady prison dramas.
Oh, it's pretty good. I waited
That's
2 months.
That's what I've heard.
2 months after that, I watched that, and I was like, yeah, this is... But both of them are just cliffhanger-y, so you're like, ah, season two, give it to me, and then you look it up on Wikipedia, and it could be sometime in 2014.
Maybe, right.
Possibly, if they feel like it. Like, that's not great.
Well, Halloween, we did our sort of annual thing where I go over to my neighbor's place and hand out furious amounts of candy for about 90 minutes, and then we all go inside and eat pizza and hide out and talk about Halloween's past. And it was pouring rain here, too, which really put a damper on a whole bunch of different people's costumes. And I had a good costume this year instead of just a half-assed costume from something that came out of my closet. Yeah, it was really good. But then I ate some candy and slept for 12 hours, so I'm a little discombobulated this morning.
Well, at least you did remember there was a podcast this morning, unlike me.
I was not going to bring it up, but now that you've brought it up, how do you forget that kind of thing? Do you need some productivity tips?
Probably, perennially, yes. But
you know, the phone will give you reminders.
It was on the calendar twice. I just somehow it completely. I was writing up LARP Trek for the morning, and I was.
Nice.
I was actually trying to. I've got Chief O'Brien singing a parody of "Oh Danny Boy." except for about him being bored at work and wanting to get back to playing the role-playing game that he and the rest of the crew are playing, that Geordi's running. And so it's like, oh, Milesy boy, and so on. And I got it done and posted, and then I was like, maybe I should record a version of this, but that didn't go very well. So, And then I got an IM from both you and from Matt saying, hey, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. What's going on? Oh, podcast. Shit. All right. Okay.
What's going on?
Yeah. I had a good Halloween. As a friend pointed out, it's the suburban dad holiday. I had no idea I fell into having to do so many things, like putting up lights and carving pumpkins the best way possible and time-lapse cameras and getting the best candy bars. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is the big leagues of the suburbs. It was pretty fun.
And you did the full-size candy bar thing?
Yeah, I did 4 boxes again, which comes out to like 136 bars or something, and I always think it's going to be too much. We're going to have like Snickers for 2 weeks afterwards, but eventually you know, by 9 o'clock, they're all gone.
And, well, I saw Kay and Fiona's costumes on Facebook. Those were pretty terrific. This is like, are you guys figuring, is this the last year Fiona's going to want to dress up the same as her mom?
Oh, yeah, probably. No, I think she'll be... I think she'll be stoked with it for a long time. I can't imagine her not wanting to do everything mom does.
Really?
But they just found Cleopatra costumes at Goodwill for $5 or something a few months ago.
They're really nice costumes.
Yeah. I mean, they're like literally like in a bag, you know, brand new. Our Goodwill has weird brand new unused stuff sometimes.
Sweet.
So that's what they did, and it was pretty good. Billion kids. It didn't rain like the standard Oregon costume is, what do you want to be at Halloween? Keep in mind, you might have to wear a ski jacket or a hoodie. Like, how does that work into the costume?
Well, it snowed 2 days ago, of course, here. So keep in mind, it might either snow or rain or, you know, there was a monsoon 1 year. This kid's costume was my favorite, where he was basically a jellyfish by using a clear umbrella with a bunch of bubble wrap hanging off the sides
smart.
Of it. Totally, totally.
That is life hacky.
I should go as Gordon's fisherman.
He's like the nerdy, one of the nerdy neighborhood kids. So I was like, way to go, nerdy
brilliant.
Neighborhood kid.
He could have made it more decorative. Like,
oh, shut up, Matt.
No, I'm just saying, like, pink. What do you call it, Portuguese man-o-war-y? Like, I don't know.
My suspicion is he had a different costume. Our first costume visitor was Doctor Who also, which I thought was pretty great thing about my neighborhood.
Some kid went as a toilet.
Oh my god, do you want to throw candy into that toilet all night long? Totally. I don't know if you guys can see this picture, but it was like four kind of teenage girls in the neighborhood basically went as like websites.
It shows up as like unavailable to me. I thought we were friends on Facebook.
It's not my picture. It's
friend.
It's basically four teenage girls. They're all wearing like colored t-shirts. And so there's like Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. Like they were the t-shirts are drawn by hand, and they all went together and like stood next to each other as apps. And it was very cute.
Nice.
Someone in my Twitter stream posted a kid going as the healthcare.gov site still loading or something.
Oh, God.
But he probably has a scary Republican dad who hates it, you know.
Well, I was just reading about the healthcare. Like, I saw the SNL send up of healthcare.gov, and I was like, wah, wah, wah. But it didn't really occur to me, I guess, because I have health insurance. And also Vermont, I believe, has their own state website. That, like, the 30-plus sites that don't have their own state website all have to use that terrible website. And they were, like, releasing numbers that said – like only 5 people successfully signed up on the first day. Like five. That's got to be wrong, right? It's like 5,000 or blah blah blah. No,
I think I heard 9 as a, and I thought it was a joke, but possibly not.
Yeah, it didn't. I was like looking, like, is this 6 completed signups on the first day according to the Wall Street Journal?
Wow.
Like, that's actually bad. Like, I thought it was like, oh, it was slow, it was a little inconvenient, whatever. I had no idea, like, it was completely non-functional.
Yeah, the Oregon one just kicks you out. Like, you just go, what state are you from? Oregon. You're done
Goodbye.
With the healthcare.gov. And I'm like, I want to know what everyone says is wacky or good or bad. And I can't.
Uh-huh.
I
posted a link to, so ClavDivs did his annual... almost annual, what are you going to do for Halloween? And a couple people flagged it when it first came in. And so I was like, no, you guys should know this is the tradition. But I didn't really pay attention to it until I looked up all of his posts. And I put a little link on Best Of. He's
That's
been posting some version of this since 2001. He did 2001, 2, 3, and 4, skipped 5, did 6, 7, skipped 8, and 9, and did 10, 11, 12 in this year.
I'm going to say he may not have skipped at least one of 2008 or 2009. I think I actually deleted one year.
Oh my god, you monster!
Yeah, I know, and it's, you know, and it's Clav, so it's like
been weird and making no sense.
It's kind of hard to read, and he doesn't tend to write in, you know, a paragraph saying, oh, I think there may have been a misunderstanding. I think it's just not his way of interacting with the site. So, I don't remember.
I don't see any deleted MetaTalk posts from him.
We may not have been...
We might not have.
That was before
that may have been
we...
pre-rework. So it's possible like it was 2008 or something, and I nixed one, and then it was just magically gone. I could also just be... just imagining that I did that. Maybe wow. It was a bad dream I had, but
this is
know.
A post about your favorite musical character, and then is this Moving Right Along done? It's Raining Florence Henderson did a version of Moving Right Along too, but Metafilter themed. That's pretty amazing.
Dude, It's Raining Florence Henderson drove past my exit on the highway.
How do you
and
know
was on
this?
Vacation with his wife, because he asked a question about Vermont vacations and asked Metafilter, and I was like, you call me. But it's like, you don't want to be like, rawr, bring your wife over so she can meet the woman from the website you know.
Sounds completely legit.
Yeah. So he just drove by and was like, I waved at exit 4. I was like, you were a mile and a half from my house. It would have been great to meet you. So maybe next decade.
So, yeah, a lot of musical stuff.
Well, and they're just fun threads, you know, because not everybody goes out and does a Halloween thing, but it's a nice way for everybody to kind of chit-chat about
No, I did not wear a costume, and I was called either a hipster or a nerd a couple times.
But you are a nerd.
I know. I was like, yeah, for 41 years. Yep, that's what I've been going as.
A hipster. Do people think you're a hipster where you're from?
I was wearing plaid and tight jeans or something. I don't know. I came around.
You got that new haircut. I saw it. Look good.
Yeah, I came around on these skinny jeans. Like, you know, I accidentally had some and I was pissed. And I was like, and then a day later after wearing them, I'm like, hey, these are efficient. I'm not wasting fabric like I used to. Like,
well, and they're comfortable most of the time if you get ones that fit.
Yeah, I've got some great, like, stretch jeans, and they worked awesome.
Just, you know, make sure you got a buddy to tell you if you're going too far.
Right. God, that's a great picture. Where did you find a bee costume? Like,
we've got, like, a yard sale Facebook page for my neighborhood, and somebody was selling, like, a bee costume basically for children. And so that's why it has suspenders, because I had to cut the sleeves totally off, and the hat came off, and then I sewed the suspenders on, and that's why it only comes down to my knees. Like, I think it's supposed to be like a full-size bee costume for children, but it's huge, right? So it can fit basically any kid.
Yeah.
And so I'm not that big of a person, so it fit me.
It's kind of like you're wearing a barrel in those old photos.
Yes, exactly. And then someone was like, you're like, I'm a bee, like the, you know, Black Eyed Peas song.
Oh, right. I was wondering why you were apologizing to the Black Eyed Peas.
It's always a good idea to stay on good terms with them.
Yeah, that's right. They're very powerful.
But originally I was going to go as like a zombie or something, and I was just overcomplicating things. And I'm like, you know, I'm in the neighborhood where a kid dresses as a toilet and most kids are ninjas. The bee is going to be okay. There was one other little bee and we bonded. And
God,
there are
so few recognizable even costumes.
Do you think that's just because you're not watching kid TV, or do you think...
Nah, they just don't put much effort into it. Like, it's either a crappy $5 plastic grocery store kind of costume, or it's nothing at all, or stuff at home, or I'm a cowboy, which isn't very hard to do.
I like the cowboy costumes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember being a kid and having it be really important picking the right, you know, $2 grocery store costume
that represented
your...
your worldview.
Right.
There wasn't 20 Iron Mans this year like there was last year.
We had 3 Iron Men, which I thought made sense because that's where we are in the series.
We had 0, which is strange. Or maybe 1, but yeah. I don't remember being dazzled by anything. Only like a couple kids that were like wearing a box, you know, something that was extravagant they had to sort of bump around in. Just not putting the effort in. Kids disappointing me.
I just also have to include, just because it's Halloween, here's a picture of me going as a clown and my sister going as a Dracula from when I was 8.
Oh, yeah, that picture.
From my mom's Flickr from a million years ago. Yeah. It's better because I think the next year I went as a gypsy, and so...
Whoa! Sorry.
Roma.
Flickr's not loading for me. I think Flickr's broken.
Darn it, Flickr.
Having a panda massage. Oh, wait, it works.
Panda
what, are you
massage.
A hobo?
I think so. A little clown. A little, like, carnival clown.
I thought you said hobo.
It's like, no, what?
Dude, that would be great.
Just like a couple of reeds.
I'm a bass bassoon, you idiot.
We had one kid who went as like a rock and roll guitar and was with the toilet kid, and we thought it was some kind of complicated Elvis thing that we didn't understand.
Oh. Not,
I'm
and his
still
friend
not
the
sure.
ham sandwich also went.
I know.
Oh, man. All right, so Metafilter jobs. There have been no good jobs.
The jobs were the normal.
WordPress or web.
There's nothing delightful to discuss on a podcast. It's
if
just...
you know Arabic, there's one interesting one. You can translate a page. And Mark from the jail conference is asking for people to make Word templates. I thought that was slightly a challenge, a design challenge. Like, make a beautiful Word template, because I didn't even know you can... What can you do with Word templates? But, you know, if you ever open a print design magazine, you can be amazed at what people can do with stationery. Like, sometimes they can make beautiful kinds of things. And you're just like, wow, a letterhead? I guess you can still innovate there. And I never thought about Word, so maybe that one is a possibility.
I just taught a guy in my drop-in time how to use save as so that he can... actually make multiple letters and not just keep writing the same letter over the same letter because he wants to keep the letterhead that somebody set up for him.
Oh, right.
Save as.
That's good.
It's an exciting
Although that's going away in the newest Mac. Like
this
that.
Is PC stuff. Oh, but yeah. Okay. I think it's well away in Mac is, yeah, it's a
yeah,
distant
now,
memory.
Do you even, can you even save a copy anymore? I don't, yeah.
I think it's complicated to do that.
Oh, you'd have to teach them how to like pull up every copy of it in Time Machine. So grab 2 months, which is
that works really well in the lab. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about Time Machine the other day. Like, I used it twice when it first came out, and it saved me from some like Photoshop disaster where I deleted some layers, and then I found a file from 2 days before and saved the day. And I've never used it since. Like, I have complicated 3 gigabytes. I have like 6 months of every file I've ever had.
So and you I'm, haven't had to use it, but you're still using it.
Yeah, I just set up the, like the Wi-Fi Time Machine thing, so it backs everything up all the time. But I looked at it the other day, and I had something like 6 months of archives of everything I've ever done, but I haven't used it in 2 years, the feature.
I think that's an optimal result, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
You want to have it and not need it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Let me see. Projects. What are you guys' favorite projects?
Oh, well, projects. Very exciting because
summer's over. People are ramping back up.
Two things that I found out. The Internet Archive has improved their Wayback Machine.
Yep.
Which is cool. Number two, Raj, the guy who I have been working with to kind of help fix some stuff at Open Library, is on Metafilter, and I had no idea until I saw this post, and so now I have another way to communicate with Raj. And this just looks really nice. Like, the Internet Archive has always suffered from being the most amazing, ugliest website. Like, there is no website that is more amazing or less attractive, I think, although I'd be interested to see what people had to say about it. And so the Wayback Machine is now glorious. It looks nice. It works well. There's a way to get citations from it. It's just really, really cool. So I was happy to see this.
Yeah, like, I know Raj from Friends with Leah, and he, on Flickr, I'd followed him. But, like, if you look at his projects page, he did last month's project that we mentioned, which was the Kiva loan thingy. He's done a zillion cool projects. But
wait a second. Raj and Ranjit are not the same person.
Oh, wait. Is it? No, maybe not. Maybe I'm getting confused. Yeah, I'm thinking of Ranjit.
Okay.
Huh. Right. Why does this person have a 17,000... user number, Jesus.
Because they've been members since 2002.
Okay, I'm getting my Rajas mixed up.
Don't even.
Sorry. The one thing that was cool is Jason Scott pointed me out to this availability API aspect of it, which was, and me and Paul thought about, we can't think of a elegant way to do this. But
so it can fall back to the archive version of it if the website isn't up?
If you pull up a post from 2003, like... You know, and the link is to Yahoo News or whatever, you know it's going to be dead, but, like, they might have a copy of it if you... But there's no elegant way to do the fallback only in the result of a failure. Jason Scott made it sound like, hey, why don't you just rewrite every Link from Mike.
Your handling, link handling.
Yeah, you change your link handler to just point first at the archive, and if it's live, we'll point it forward. Like, it wasn't, it's not perfect. I wish it was a, if it's a, for, like, he, this stuff also has to happen within, like, 50 milliseconds, and this stuff should happen.
Right, right, in order plumbing. For it to be seamless.
Right,
yeah.
It should happen in the plumbing in the cloud before it gets to the user, so we kind of want it to be smoother than it is, so we couldn't get it. We couldn't figure out a way to make this thing, but this new API basically exists to show you, oh, hey, if you ever hit a 404 somewhere on the web in your blog or something, you can fall back to the, the Wayback Machine. And it's brand new, so I'm sure they'll someday be like a WordPress plugin maybe for old blog posts that would tap into it.
Which would be pretty great, right? Pretty great.
Yeah, it's possible. Like a lot of things at the Internet Archive, like it's a great idea, and just the implementation like could be spectacular if it worked. Oh, they also came up with a way like you can just make a 404 page for your own sites that automatically pulls up the Wayback Machine.
Huh.
So it says like, you know, if someone hits a random page in your blog, it checks the Wayback Machine to be like, do we have a copy of it from 2006 or something? Like, here's how to do it. It was also in that post.
Neat. Yeah, so I was just very thrilled to see that.
Yeah, that's very cool. That was on my list, too. We always mention Jeztex t-shirts.
Oh, right. I did enjoy.
For Ada Lovelace Day, there were badass women of science, which was pretty cool.
Well, and this one's great because it combines, right? It combines the sort of rock logos with these women who did completely awesome things.
Well, I think it's three different previous t-shirts things that were probably featured on this site. So it's the mustache, you know, t-shirts and the science t-shirts, just the ones that featured women. So it's, maybe this is like a best of album kind of all the previous designs that Jeztex has already done.
Well, they just don't have monocles.
That's true. They don't have mustaches.
Oh, but the hair, yeah. The hair one just makes me so happy. Yeah, they're really cool. The whole thing I thought was great. Yay, Jeztex, just in time for holiday stuff. We'll probably be ramping up the Metafilter Mall before the next podcast comes out.
Oh, so right. Yeah.
Right.
Look for an announcement in MetaTalk about it, but not just yet.
Get our Christmas on.
I wonder if
holiday time on.
If our Etsy usage is skyrocketed.
Our secular
winter
gift
solstice.
Exchange period on.
Well, because Hanukkah, of course, is the same day as Thanksgiving. It starts on Thanksgiving this year.
Yep. That's crazy.
So it's just going to be totally weird. But Hanukkah's going to be dead and over by the time people start really Christmasing it up.
Didn't we look it up and it's not going to happen for 10,000 more years?
70,000.
Oh, my God. Math. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's crazy. But Josh, any good projects from you?
Oh, I had a few things I like. There's a
roguelike.
I have two podcasts and two
the
Twitter
side-scroller.
Things. The what?
The side scroller.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh oh. All right, keep going.
Well, I liked. There's this podcast that Da Dave and Roger B are doing, where they're. It's called the Sometimes Seminar Podcast, and they're basically just talking about various topics in a non-continuous. It's an episodic thing. It's
discontinuous.
Yeah, it's not
maybe?
Like a running series that depends on the previous episode. It's just like this week we'll talk about Dwarf Fortress, or this week we'll talk about online universities, or so on.
Oh, it's loosely around culture, I guess.
Basically, I mean, it seems to be
because there's poetry, movies,
stuff.
Yeah, TV shows. Yeah, this is all over.
I of course predictably went straight to the Dwarf Fortress episode, but no, it's fun. They're just
straight
like
to the Dwarf Fortress.
They're digging in on stuff, and I always enjoy hearing that sort of thing, and it seems pretty cool. I was
how long is a typical episode?
I want to say about an hour, but again, I haven't sampled super deeply. I've listened to a couple, but I'm slow about consuming my podcast, so I haven't gotten very far into it.
Sweet,
but yeah. But I like them. They are thoughtful guys. They seem to chatter on a subject together well. That's the sort of thing I'm into. So there was also.
It turns out the scroller isn't a game. It's an art thing.
Are we talking about the Riker thing? Or no, the ANSI scroller. Okay, that I know what you mean now.
I read ANSI scroller and my brain was like, side scroller, it's a game. Josh will like it. I was just wrong.
No. I mean, that ANSI scroller
was cool looking,
really
don't
cool.
get me wrong. But
although it was also terrible what it kept getting posted on Milkshake, because it's like,
oh, yeah.
30 streams. You know, this would be awesome if I was sitting watching it scroll out of an ANSI terminal. But on Milkshake, it's just fucking up the page. It's gigantic.
It's just really, really long.
Anytime anybody complains about that, someone else is like, yeah, but you use JK to navigate from up and down. But that's not the point. Uh-oh. That's not the point. It's not how I navigate it, so.
I might miss an animated doggy.
Dude, I don't know why those are so funny. Why are those so funny? They're really
they're
funny.
Hilarious.
I was actually yesterday going like, I think I've had enough of the Shiba Inu doggy meme. Like of all the image memes, I'm like, I don't know. It's just kind of, it seems like it's trying too hard or something.
My brain just flipped a switch where I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh my God, that's hilarious. And now I can't get back to my, I don't get it anymore.
I love this project from, let me paste it, Dr. Sen called Fuck Yeah Greenhouses. So it's just your classic Fuck Yeah Green, Fuck Yeah Blank.tumblr.com. And it's just nothing but shots of greenhouses and plants and fancy palms in northern England and stuff where they shouldn't live. But thank you, greenhouses.
So, oh, that's nice.
Just lots of nice pictures.
A little bit of out of context flora porn.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
of them aren't totally greenhouses. Some are just fields.
Some of them are, you know, it's like nature is a greenhouse after all.
By definition, it totally isn't.
The earth is the shape of a house, and much of it is green. I mean,
no, it isn't.
We all read the same off-brand textbooks in school, right?
No, we didn't. Speaking of the outside, though, I really enjoyed Distort A's hilltops.ie. I don't know if you guys saw that. They hike around Ireland, and they mapped a bunch of their photos. And so it's this interesting visual thing where you look at it, and you see a bunch of hilltops with little dots on it.
Oh,
and then you click the dots, and you wind up, like, right with one of them on, you know, some hilltop in Dingle.
Nice.
Oh, for some reason, I didn't put those two things together. I just went, oh, some nice photos. That's a cool layout. I didn't know what was going on. Do the colors mean something?
I don't know. You should probably leave a comment and ask them. I think it has to do with, like, who's in it. Let me see.
Wow,
let me check
beautiful.
The purple one.
Shouldn't there be, like, an iPhone app that does this for you somehow? It's pretty cool.
This is a little bit of JavaScript away from being, like, a remake of Myst. It's like
right. Well, that's what
from
somebody
point to point
was
getting panorama.
I think somebody basically said that in the comments. Yeah.
That is cool.
But yeah,
there's like a weird. Whoa! You can jump from hilltop to hilltop.
That's
I did
what I'm
not,
saying. Yeah.
I didn't do the time jumps.
Hyperlinks, baby.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Wow! This is fantastic.
I know. Hilltops.ie. Go to Dingle.
And then look for the orange triangle to go down the rabbit hole.
Wait, I didn't see an orange triangle. What?
Orange triangles unlock the mystery.
What?
Look for an orange triangle and then
are you making
follow.
Fun of me?
No!
No, that's how you jump from panorama to panorama.
It goes,
aside from the individual zoom-in things, there's also, you can get different vantages.
Yeah, you can go to different hilltops. So you
map out. This feature is not available to me. How do you do this?
There's a, let me see. Okay, I'm on the original.
Yeah.
I'm on the original one. If you start scrolling in the third photo, the top has a orange triangle. It's called Kurach Martin.
I think maybe some of this doesn't. Oh, there's more of it. I didn't, of course, notice the side scroll bar because I'm a goof.
Oh, yeah, this whole thing is side scrolly.
Oh, nice. Okay, thank you. Thank
and
you.
If you follow the orange triangle on all of them, you go to new hilltops, which new
thank
vantage points.
Thank you.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I thought it was
it's
just
even
a side
more
scroll.
Wonderful than I thought.
Yeah. It's actually bigger than it is. God, this could be like an app or something.
Well,
using like your iPhone's GPS.
Yeah.
Huh. Neat.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. Like
oh.
it.
Maybe
love it.
Bruce Wayne to make an app that does this with everybody's phones without asking them first.
Story.
But then he'll blow
That's
it up.
That's a great idea, actually.
uh, I liked the really nothing is sadder Twitter stream. This is just Miss Jenny.
It's funny.
Searching the Twitter fire hose for people saying nothing is sadder than random banal thing, and then replying with you know, something actually sadder. Like someone posts, there's nothing sadder than a Monday morning Twitter timeline. And the response is, waking up from a coma to find everyone you love is dead is sadder. And that's the whole thing. It's just constantly being like an aggressive downer on other people's hyperbole. And I was amused. And,
there's nothing sadder than overcooked steak. And then it says, a plane crash with no survivors is sadder. That's kind of funny.
Yep.
God, this is not automated, I assume.
No. I think they automate the search and then they write up the tweets as they go.
It's pretty good.
There was also another one, and these are both things that ended up getting posted to the front page, but another Twitter stream, at Hard Sci-Fi Movies, which is posted by East Manitoba Regional Junior Kabaddi Champion 94. I think it's sort of a collaborative effort from the IRC channel on Slashnet. Like tossing stuff into a Word document and then or a Google Drive document, whatever, and then posting periodically. And yeah, it's great. It's all let's take premises for sci-fi movies, but then let's actually treat them like boringly, you know, accurate outcomes instead of, you know, someone turning into Spider-Man because he got bit by a spider.
A scientist starts a human teleportation business. She goes bankrupt when people realize teleportation involves murdering the original body.
So this is funny because it was posted to projects like the morning it went up. And so like I got to see this project as a baby in the universe. And it caught on like wildfire among my nerd friends who have no idea, don't even use Metafilter, have no idea who East Manitoba is. And like I saw these being retweeted by people in New York, San Francisco, Portland, like that. They love the shit out of this.
Yep, it's a great premise, and yeah, it's got it's 15,000 followers that account has now.
Really, all yeah. Like in 2 weeks? Yeah. Jesus,
yes, it's crazy.
You sons of bitches, I made you.
Have you guys ever watched? Have you guys ever watched Party Down? You know I think it was on Stars.
I've never seen it. The one with Adam Scott in it. What he was on
yeah,
before?
Yeah, and they're a bunch of out of work actors working for a catering business, and so they hate their life basically, and they're funny. But one of them is what's his name? Star from Freaks and Geeks. What's his name? He was a mopey kid on Freaks and Geeks, and he's basically a mopey nerd, and all he ever wants to do is talk about hard sci-fi in the show, like with women. When he's trying to pick up women, he's talking about his hard sci-fi screenplay that can't get made, you know, and how he hates most sci-fi because it's not hard enough, and this reminded me totally of this. Like, I read all these in his voice. Star.
Right after
Mark thought Star. Matt was going to read something in his voice.
My mailman just delivered some mail through the mail slot, so I heard thump thump, and then everything was quiet. And it's like he'd somehow killed you all with my mail. It was disconcerting for a moment. It's a Halloween hangover here. It's too spooky.
Martin Starr is who I was trying to.
Oh yeah, him.
Yeah, so he's very funny in the show.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, as a grown up, he's funny, and his character is totally like the made-up character that's writing these tweets. Anything else in projects? I'm all done.
That is it for me in projects.
I'm going to self-plug because it's not just me. It's also Churl, and I haven't done this in a while, but we're doing a podcast.
What do you mean you haven't done it in a while? You haven't done it since last month.
I haven't really plugged anything hard for a while. Yeah. It's been at least 3 weeks.
Did you guys interview Andy Bale?
We did.
For this?
We'll be posting that in a couple of weeks.
Wait a second. How did Churl post ASCII poops to this thread?
He's a wizard. We actually have that domain name, in fact.
Emoji works in the database, I think?
I guess it doesn't display for me on my home Chrome, but it displays on my iPhone.
Yeah, I had to put in an emoji extension to Chrome, and everything works great because I was tired of Twitter friends like posting box 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 ha ha ha.
Yeah,
I get it.
So there is a Chrome extension.
Well, maybe I'll look into that. He apparently registered that emoji .tk. So if anybody ever wants to visit that way, they can technically get to the site for the podcast
shoot.
But yeah, no, we've been bullshitting and on mic, and it's been fun, and it's been going pretty well. And yeah, it's weird because we did record with Andy a couple weeks ago, and we'll be posting it in, you know, a couple more weeks because we wanted to get a backlog before we launched to make sure we were actually able to produce these things. But now we're taking a couple
That's
weeks
a
off
idea.
From recording to sort of let that winnow down, because in retrospect, it's kind of weird to be like, hey, can you come do this thing? It'll be fun. We'll interview you, and then you have to wait a month, which is like. So we're gonna.
That's
sort
how
of,
it works on Jeopardy.
Well, yeah, but we're not Jeopardy.
Yeah, but this is not. Yeah,
we can get away with cutting it closer to the wire.
I think you tweeted that you had recorded something with Andy. I was like, awesome! I got to drive tomorrow. Where do I download?
Yeah, I know. So
and now the crushing like.
This is funny. This
different...
is like opposite Josh.
Yeah, I know. It's like planning ahead or something. What is that about?
Way ahead.
Churl's influence. He actually is a little bit more thoughtful about like trying to plan things before you do them. So we've been meeting in the middle of a lot of stuff. It's been, I think, actually really good for both of us to try and figure out ways to compromise on our working techniques.
Oh, you got Brad Sucks. Did you interview him when he was here last month?
Yeah. When he was in town for XOXO, we got him to come over to my house, and we talked for about an hour and
are all your interviews like all three of you in the same room?
Yeah, we're literally sitting around my pool table in the basement. I wanted to do that, like sitting in the same room, so that like, you know, really good audio quality, actual eye contact stuff. I mean, this Skype thing obviously works very well if you sort of know each other, and so if you've got a good dynamic enough over the mic like we do, you can get away with it. But if I want to have guests on and they aren't necessarily, you know, radio or microphone people, being able to actually make eye contact and sit around in a room seems like a good way to
because they can then respond to you and have a fluid conversation.
Exactly. You know, if they can sort of forget that the mic is there, it becomes much less of a production, ideally. So we'll see how that goes. But
great.
But yeah,
congratulations.
So thanks.
Co bullshitter.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'll listen to the Brad Sucks and the Andy Bayo one for sure.
Excellent.
All the other ones can go. No.
Those guys
I'm still working through my WTF backlog.
You got M Salt on there.
Yeah, he was on the first episode.
Every time I go to the Helium Comedy Club, I hope it's going to be one night where Mark might possibly be there, you know, doing the super duper local intro guy slot, but never.
Yeah. Just check with him.
Men can plan these things.
You can just have him drop you a line. I think he has a mailing list or something. But
Well, there's this standard, like there's a nice comedy club in Portland, and they always use like some just local open micer as the very first slot, and so you never I've never seen the same person twice there ever. And I know he kind of runs their open mic, so I thought someday I'd just randomly see him without having to tell him, but yeah.
This is all the podcast about plans. Planning. How to plan.
This really should be the January 1st podcast, right? Where we return
over. I slept late. Josh forgot about the podcast.
Yep.
The Life Hacky Podcast. All right. Go.
Well, I was just going to say, if we wanted to go to Ask Metafilter,
do it.
And you know how stuck I am on good segues, we had a very popular, it's true though, right? Like, I like patterns. So this was like your kind of standard, I need hacks for whatever. But basically, this is just a Triggerfinger who's a user who was looking for hacks, blah, blah, blah. But what Triggerfinger really means, I think Triggerfinger is female. Oh, God.
Religion?
Was basically looking for kind of just mantras. Like, look, you're having a bad day and you just want to kind of say something to yourself so that you're not dwelling on whatever the bad day thing is. What do you say? And so basically, it's like many other list generation Ask Metafilters. It's just a list of things you can say to yourself that help you get over whatever the little hump is that you're dealing with right now while you're waiting for all the other things you're trying to do to actually kind of work. And it's kind of a nice thread full of, you know, like one person's mantra is another person's platitude, so you can kind of figure out the ones that you really care about versus the ones that don't do it for you. But there's a lot of good list generation, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, I like the... Chocolate Pickle actually wrote, like, 10 years from now, are you even going to remember this stupid thing? Like, that's pretty good. Like,
exactly. I mean, I think everybody who's got, you know, bad mood issues that they deal with that aren't necessarily crippling depression needs to find ways to, I mean, especially this time of year, right? The days get short, the time zones are all weird, holidays are ramping up, everybody's a little more than usual. And so these are helpful, I think. And it was a very popular
thread. That's a funny saying I've never heard. Everyone fucks up sometimes. The trick is to not go over your quota.
Right.
That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them I hadn't really heard, and I thought it was helpful.
I saw your thread on a year calendar in a glance that looks nice. How
for
did that
Christ's sake, why is that the hardest thing in the world to do?
Because
I've been
meaning
to ask this question for the last year. I just want one big wall calendar that I can write in the boxes that goes on the wall that I don't. I put up in January and I never touch it again. And there's
new
one.
New Year one looks cool. It's dry
erase. That's the one I'm buying. I mean, I was like, I'm using the wrong terms. I can't Google it. Like, what's going on? Like, basically, there's the ugly office one that you can get at Staples that everybody buys. And I'm like, look, I'll just deal with that if I need to. But what I really envisioned was something a little designy, but that costs less than $50. But I want, you know, like everybody, I have super nitpicky needs. It's got to have months. You know, there's a lot that you can get that just have the months as these long stripes of days.
Right.
And it was kind of an exercise in...
Is it that nobody thinks of the year at a glance as a view they want to see that's too overwhelming?
People just aren't using paper calendars anymore, and the people who are at the office and they have those desk calendars.
I guess when I read it,
I mean, if you've
like,
got a cube, you don't have a wall.
Yeah, right. When I read it, I went like, do those even exist? Like,
I know. What?
Like, I've never even thought about, huh?
And so people gave me like, well, there's this one, but it only meets 3 out of 4 of your criteria. This one meets 3, other 3, other 4. But then there's basically one. There's the New Year calendar. It costs $25, which is expensive, but not crazy.
Whoa.
And I'm going to put it on the damn wall.
It's
and
vertical.
Next year, I'm going to try and make my own.
You can do it vertical or landscape. Like
isn't
the same...
that smart?
That's pretty amazing.
And they just have one item that they sell. I mean, they just have that, and you can – it's landscape, or you flip it over, and it's portrait.
That's pretty cool.
But I think I'm just going to go into business and make them next year after reading Mr. I'm going to go into business selling calendars, that thread on Metafilter that somebody linked to.
How about if I wish like Google Cal's lit up squares for me somehow, but it wasn't made of a giant screen. I wonder if there was some sort of hybrid way to do something.
What do you mean? Like that you could print it or that you would just see certain things glowing in advance?
Yeah, like if I just filled some stuff in 6 months from now, vacation, somehow it would appear there. Or I could have a simple shortcut, like a stamp or something. Like,
or you could see it glowing on the horizon. That's what I would like. Like the horizon of my calendar is faintly glowing. Something's
but I don't want to have to like buy a big screen TV just to have a damn calendar.
You have a big screen TV.
Oh, man. Whoa, this is a guy who just made calendars? Whoa.
Well, and it's funny because you read, I mean, it's kind of a stupid article, but like you read that whole post. This is back to Metafilter that somebody linked to in my Ask Metafilter thread. And it's basically, you know, it's one of those like poppy, everything they told you about how to go into business is wrong. And, you know, it is and it isn't. You read his article and he sounds like a pain and the whole thing sounds annoying. But he actually goes into the numbers of his I decided to sell a wall calendar thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting reading. You know, how they actually work out.
Huh.
I think he wound up with something weird because he had to.
Looks like he had changed packaging. Yeah, he had changed packaging a couple times.
And it's a really nice calendar, the calendar the guy creates. But
I really wanted to make a post like this about that time we sold like 500 Metafilter shirts and how much, like, I had to do 2 months of research. I should have wrote it up. And in the end, like, you don't make that much money and it's a shit ton of work. And there are a bunch of great shortcuts if you put it all together, but it takes a long time.
Well, we have trouble hearing back from Tupatco, and, like, there were a couple weird, like,
before that, when I did it all myself, it was,
oh,
like...
Oh, God, yeah.
I had to learn everything. I had to learn, like, how to pick the packaging envelope and why I would pick it, and how is it going to work with, like, French international customs. Like, there's so much crazy research you have to do.
Right.
And like, you know, which like label printer is going to hold up to shipping, you know, bags being sent overseas and being dragged on floors and stuff like that. It was crazy.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I should have done that. Now I've forgotten it all.
So thank you, Nimi, Amy, Zamboni, and Barn One, for pointing me in the direction of essentially the one calendar that fits my criteria. And I'm going to now go buy it.
Sweet.
And, of course, asking a question on Ask Metafilter means that I've now remembered all the other questions that I need to ask immediately. So I'm just itching, waiting for my time to come around.
Chatty, thoughtful questions. Is there any man-made object that can't, that's so long
Love
and straight,
this.
It can't be laid flat because of the curvature of the Earth? Is there something like, there's only a couple places on Earth where you can see the curvature of the Earth? Like, I've heard, what,
well,
central?
Anywhere in the ocean, which covers 75% of the planet.
Well, I've heard, like,
other than that,
central Australia, you can kind of see the horizon is not straight because it's so flat and featureless. But
sure.
Someone said the curvature of the Earth is 8 inches per mile. That seems excessive to me. That seems like way too much. I thought it would be like a quarter inch a mile or something very tiny.
Well, I mean, you can do the math, right?
Yeah. Shit.
Oh, right.
I can't both talk to you guys and do the math.
Someone that'd could be like dividing pi by 26,000 miles or something, and you'd probably get whatever the change of the rate of change, I guess. Yeah.
It's not a calculus problem. It's just a circle.
Yep.
Basically, the whole point is the natural variation in ground elevation, which is what Luke says is going to be
wild.
Different. So the cut to the chase, the answer is no. Wait, that isn't even a... That link didn't even go anywhere.
Yeah,
the link is broken!
Is it?
Or I did something wrong, probably. at any rate, it's a fascinating thread where people are like, well, maybe... But what about...
I mean, because there's bridges that are several miles long. Like, does that show up in the bridge engineering? But I don't think it does. I think the surface variability is too much.
Well, and most things bend. You know,
yeah,
even things that are super rigid. And, you know, skyscrapers, for example, they go up straight, but they're intended to, you know, move a little bit in the wind, specifically so they don't have a big windstorm and they just snap, you know?
And you also have, like, heat expansion slots and lots of things.
Right, 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 right. Exactly.
Like every bridge.
Right. Like every bridge.
Like every bridge. Every good bridge.
Yeah, but I enjoyed that thread because I didn't know the answer, and I just read along, like, I wonder about that.
It's a pretty good roundup of persuasive podcasts that showed up on Ask Metafilter.
I didn't see this either. This is great.
Where give me podcasts that like inform but also persuade me, you know, that gives me like stuff like This American Life, Radiolab, 99% Invisible, and there's a whole bunch of podcasts I've never heard of that I would love to check out.
Yeah, by Henniker, who's not a user, longtime user, but not somebody I necessarily know.
I saw a couple crazy travel ones that were awesome. One of these was, tell us what to do in the, like, where's the best place to see orca whales in the San Juan Islands, which is just kind of a dream, and, like, lots of good advice on, like, high points and places to hang out and spend some time. And then there's this thread on going to New Zealand. It just said, like, hey, help us fill out our New Zealand trip. Here's a loose itinerary. We're going to be in the north. We're going to be in the south. We're going to fly between the two islands. And there's not that many answers. There's only four answers. But every answer is so crazy, it makes it sound like all of New Zealand is a giant movie set envisioned by Peter Jackson. There's this sound cruise. You go on this cruise in this fjord, and it's so silent and echoey that apparently you just, like, cruise out there and hang out in a boat for an hour or two and just listen to birds echoing through a fjord. Like, is that... I've never heard of anything like that in my life. That's so crazy.
Huh. I would enjoy that very much. And this is Abby, who was... we met at the Max FunCon.
Oh, cool.
She was the Metafilter scholarship student.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think that's who she is. AABBBIIIEE. That's neat. You've been to New Zealand, what, once, twice, Matt?
Once. I want to go again.
And they're on their honeymoon. So
yes. Super sweet. They're doing a lot of things if you look at that I mean, they're
that is not my idea of a good time. But.
Going to Australia, too, it's actually pretty far between the two. It looks the same on a map, but I think it's
right,
like a
five-hour flight. Right, but it's like Chicago to Texas, yeah.
No, it'd probably be like New York to, like, Utah or something. It's pretty much across the country. I think it's like 4 or 5 hours or a few hours.
And then when
hours.
You get there, you're in Brisbane, which, I don't know, maybe they have friends there.
Well, maybe, it'll be summer, so it'll be hot, but crazy. New Zealand sounds like a fake thing that doesn't really exist. That's all I wanted to push.
I also enjoyed this brief and thematically appropriate. I'm a single dad, and I will be volunteering at my kid's Halloween party. I've been flirting with a single mom. I'm in a pirate suit. She's going to... I think he doesn't know what she's...
Oh, my God. I need a nautical opening line. Oh, wow.
But it's like Unix Rat. We know him. He's been around for a while. And I just enjoyed people trying to give him ideas. And then, of course, you got the occasional nerd who was like, this is a bad idea. And
do not say booty. Do not go anywhere near booty right away. Do not. A lot of people are saying booty, but I would not shoot out of the gun with booty.
I would not either. But, you know, I don't know other people. I don't understand other people. So I just figure you give him a lot of advice and you figure he can make whatever decision he needs to make.
My favorite Halloween post was about someone researching a costume. My friend Joe Crawford, I've known for a long time in the L.A. web community when I lived there. He was being Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski, and he wanted to know, Walter's wearing dog tags. What? If I was going to make accurate dog tags, what should it say on it? And it is a trip down. I've seen Big Lebowski a zillion times. I thought I knew everything about it. But it's also like military history and all the military rules around dog tags. And they're all different for each like branch of the military. And Joe shares at the end what he finally put down. And there's some references to the movie on his dog tags that he made.
And not only that, one of the references, the number of times they say fuck on the Big Lebowski is the same as my user number.
Oh, wow. Dun, dun, dun.
Ta-da.
Jessamine, presented by the Coen brothers.
I thought that was pretty great.
And the number of times dude is said, Yeah, and he had a pretty convincing Walter Sobchak.
That's a pretty good ensemble
there. Good-looking costume. Yeah, that's awesome. I had two more things that I really liked. I loved Ask Metafilter this month. Josh, did you have any since we've just been talking?
No, as often is the case, I mostly only see Ask Metafilter through the stuff I have to moderate there, which really makes for a good conversation. Like, hey, I remember this thread where people were really unhappy about this uncomfortable situation. Let's talk about that. That was great, yeah. So no, please proceed.
This is a thread by R.F. Simpson, who's a newish user, and it's basically, I've got a friend. They want to read something. He's a 40-year-old black man who grew up in the streets of South Central and has never read a book in his life.
Wow.
What do you recommend?
Wow, and, what do you start
you know,
with?
People go a lot of different directions with it, but it was just interesting for me to see, you know, what people suggested, what people thought people would like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It turns into a really interesting thread, I thought.
I guess I would think back to the first time I ever read a book for pleasure. But not really, or any book I liked, but that would be like maybe high school, ninth grade or eighth grade, like when I sort of was given a full adult book, you know, to read.
And you could choose. Yeah.
Or I actually liked it and it didn't feel forced on me, which like all of Shakespeare and most classics felt like. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe Grapes of Wrath might have been the first thing I might have enjoyed slightly. Huh. I don't even know what you'd tell a 40-year-old to, like, start with books.
Well, you send them to the library is what you tell them most of the time.
A 65-year-old person going, you know what? I've never heard this rock and roll the kids are talking about. Like, give me one album. And that'd be pretty
difficult.
I hear
a lot of people are enjoying this 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, you know, it's
listen, I've heard a lot about talkies. Can you suggest one movie about comedy that I might enjoy? This is hard.
It was interesting. It was interesting.
I think you want to have that like Princess Bride moment, right? Where the like in the movie, the kid doesn't want to hear a stupid book about a bunch of stupid things, and the grandpa says, "Well,
maybe
there's going to be adventure."
Read a little bit more. Yeah.
That's what you want, the thing that sparks the... Because I like the Into Thin Air by Krakauer, which is totally out of left field, but it's also like I couldn't put that down, you know? Cause
right.
Every page you think you're going to die, so...
Right, well, because you know how the book winds up.
Yeah,
For the most part, very few people pick that book up not knowing that McCandless dies. So it's just figuring out how to get to it that...
Yeah, wow.
Which reminds me. Well, wait a sec. Did you have more, Matt? I had two more, I think.
I only have one more, and it was pretty flaky.
Because I enjoyed DZ Wang's Make My Home a Factory for Living, classic nerd, you know. Assuming I don't care about hominess or aesthetics, what does industry have to teach me about getting through all the little maintenance work of life with less time, effort, and attention?
Huh. And this is all focused, like, on food and hygiene, but I'm thinking, like, vinyl and tile.
Right.
Like, changing your surfaces so you don't have to vacuum all the time, or...
Yeah, but people talk about, like, you know, you pre-order stuff on Amazon, and you subscribe to get toilet paper delivered, there's scientific management, you la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Huh.
So it's not just kind of, like, domestic hacks, it's more, lessons from business that you can apply to your...
Some people talk about, obviously, a Nest thermostat. I've been telling more and more friends keep asking me about it. Like, I've had mine for...
I have friends who have one, like, non-nerd friends who have one, and I'm like,
well,
what the hell?
Well, they're available. They're at, like, the Home Depot, and, like, the end of the aisles, they paid, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot to put up little... I was amazed, because I had just turned a corner once in a Home Depot, and there was a big Nest display, and I went, wait... These are normals. They won't understand how to do it or join their Wi-Fi network or
I have
rewire.
No idea what this is.
Oh,
a Nest thermostat?
Yeah.
A Nest thermostat is designed by former iPod engineers. They started a company to try and like remake household objects. And so they started with a thermostat, which isn't very exciting. But like, it's just self-programming. And it's amazing. It's like a TiVo. Like the first week, it's terrible. But then, like, 6 months into it, it's absolutely perfect. And
it knows when you're in the house, so it learns what your cycles are, so it can turn the heat up when you're awake and down when you're asleep. And my friends were telling me that the wacky thing that it does is it adjusts your high-end temperature down, like, a degree every week or so.
to see if you can handle it.
Yeah, so you've been in your 65-degree house or 66-degree house, and the next week it's 64 degrees, and then next week it's 63 degrees. And so at some point, you're like, what the hell? It's freezing in here. And you turn it back up. But it saves, because they're really into, like, they're like, we need to save some damn money, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why they got it. Like, only, they don't care that it's a gadget. They don't care. Like, they're just basically like, we need to save money, period. And so it was interesting talking to them about it, because I come from it from the sort of designy, like, ooh, it's nice looking.
And you can control it from your iPod. And yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like, it saves us money because we were always leaving our stupid thermostat up or down.
Yeah,
or
it does two features amazingly well. And one is turns on the heat like 15 minutes before I get up most days, which is absolutely awesome. And that's what a computer should do, is figure out when I like to get up from past history and do it for me. And the second thing is it works best for someone with a normal job, like working at home.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, if you leave at 9 a.m., you come back at 5, like your house is ice cold during the day and doesn't waste a cent of electricity in the winter or summer. But if I just go out for 3 hours, it turns it off.
Sounding like less of a coup for me, because I've
but
been
the
home,
best,
that's where I am.
Right.
And the greatest thing ever...
You stay still too much and your house gets chilly around you.
The greatest thing ever was like going to Hawaii for a week on vacation, and it's like December, and the thing is super shut off because I haven't seen movement in a week. And then like at the airport, I'll crank it up to like 72. And
that's
then
what I
because
want.
I have a 2-hour drive home, so it like warms up the house from like 60 to like 70 when I get there, and it's awesome.
You live 2 hours from the Portland airport?
Yeah, it's only like 45 miles or so, but it's kind of across the city, through the city. It's like as far as it could possibly be in terms of like I have to go through 10 cities that take forever.
It's as the extremely fat crow flies.
Yes.
The fat, slovenly crow.
It works pretty good. The Nest is, like, I can't believe how great it is. It's gotten so good where I don't even think about it. I haven't reviewed it in 6 months.
But you can check into it on your phone and see how it's doing and what it's doing. And
it shows you its recipes. It goes, this is what I think you do Monday through Friday, and this is what I do on the weekends. For some reason, it really treats those completely separately, since most people have a separate, you know, lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it gets a little warmer on the weekends, and it turns the heat on a little bit later on the weekends. And so, yeah, it works great. It works really good.
Interesting.
Neat.
And it totally becomes a set it, forget it, and your home just feels better for having it.
And did you save money? Do you know?
It's doubtful. If I was out more, it would. But yeah,
right.
It shows.
Well, work at home. What do you do? Yeah.
You get like a monthly email of how many days you save, like how many green leaves you got for saving energy. And that basically forces, that's like how many days I went out of the house and it shut down. And mine's below the national average because most people have to leave their house every day.
Every day. I know.
So, like, I am, you know, it's helping a little bit, but not a lot. But if I work downtown in a job somewhere, it'd be awesome, I think. Probably save a lot of money. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's like a $200 thermostat supposed to save you, you know, supposedly hundreds of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And they just came out with, like, a smoke detector that can kind of tap into it. And
it glows.
I don't think I'm not wild about smoke detectors, so I'm not going to try it out, but yeah.
Glows. They show it like above your bed. I'm like, who could sleep? Who could sleep?
Even the tiny little blinky lights on those annoy me sometimes.
It's
ever had that, like, you can't quite get to sleep, and for some reason you feel compelled to stare at the smoke detector waiting for it to blink and then be annoyed that it's blinking?
Absolutely.
Man. Smoke detectors, nothing but trouble.
And the last one that I really liked was just somebody, our user thing, asked about genealogy in different countries.
Huh.
Which is a thing I didn't really know about, because, like, in England, you can find your ancestors way back till whenever, 1600, and a lot of people through the 1400s. And they were just wondering in other countries what that's like.
I hate to pull up a stereotype, but didn't, like, Mormons revolutionize this whole world and standardize it, probably?
Mormons are very, very American, though.
Yeah,
and so they don't, I don't believe, have stuff that comes in from other countries. So basically you're like, you go this far back in America, and then who knows what was going on in France.
But I've heard people say, like, before Mormonism became a huge thing in the 70s or 80s, that genealogy was really hodgepodge for Americans. And then suddenly anyone in the country can trace themselves back to, like, the mid-1850s, thanks to...
Well, and to be fair, that's the same time that digitization was happening also.
True.
So, you know, Ancestry.com might have accomplished some of the same thing. But no, Mormons have been really, really on top of that.
Uh-huh. Whoa, Iceland. That'd be like... Is there, like, special Iceland setup? Someone mentioned Iceland. Because, like, isn't everyone subtly related in Iceland, kind of? Like, the genealogy is pretty well done.
The gene pool is less diverse. And one of the things about Iceland is the naming is patronymic. And so, you know, your name is related to who you're related to. You don't have just a family name.
If your dad's Hargrim, then your last name's Hargrim's daughter.
Right.
Hargrim's son.
West daughter. I love that little O with the dots. Daughters. I wish all my female friends were daughters. Like, that's pretty cool. But then everyone would be sons, all the guys. That's pretty cool.
I don't know what the transgender Icelandic do.
Yeah, right.
That's a good question. Let's have a 700 comment long thread about it.
I'm just leaving it there. I'm done. That's all I was curious
there's
about.
There's only 300,000 people in Iceland?
I know. It's half the size of Vermont. It's crazy.
That's like a middling city, a single city in America, like...
Well, there's also the much larger ice world in Orlando, but... little Disney humor. should we talk about some Metafilter? I guess that's the other thing. There's nothing I can do but point to this and let you guys chide me for nerdity, but this gigantic web page talking about Sierpinski triangles is amazing.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a fractal where if you take
it's
a triangle,
fractal triangle thing.
And then cut out the middle triangle and then cut out the middle triangle of the remaining triangles and so on. So yeah, it's just it's a real simple fractal, and it can be produced in a bunch of ways, but the guy just goes to town on it. This is opposed to
And it's basically math, right? So you can give somebody like a equation and they can have a Sierpinski triangle. Like,
yep,
they're mathematic.
Yeah, yeah, it's a collection of a bunch of crazy different ways to fiddle with this in terms of like mathematical code and such.
Yeah, but is that mathematical or is that like JavaScript? Like, what is the code?
I think it's mostly it's including mathematical code, but yeah, it's crazy. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, and there's so many different ways you can actually produce a Sierpinski triangle, which is part of the interesting thing that it goes into great length on. But one of my favorites is the there's a random dot drawing game where if you take a piece of paper and you just draw three dots approximating a triangle, like the points of a triangle, and then you pick two dots at random on that paper and find the exact midpoint and make a dot there. And then keep doing that for a while, like just literally picking any two dots that you've got on the paper and keep doing that, you'll eventually end up with a fuzzy approximation of a Sierpinski triangle. It's magic. Do it sometime when you're bored and have to sit still and can have pen and paper for 15 minutes.
I have never this bored.
Well, you know, doctor's office, something like that.
If this guy was really committed to the fractal triangle, I would assume this page would never end. Like, you should just scroll down.
It doesn't,
down.
I don't think.
Like, I thought it was, like, I thought there'd be three examples. I'm amazed that there's, like, I had no idea how long it was, but I thought it would be extra funny if you just did JavaScript loading and just kept loading more ideas. Like an XKCD joke where it's, like, 10,000 screens long if you just keep going. Wow, yeah. This is insane.
Sorry, I thought that was fantastic.
That's pretty fucking cool.
The author says, it's also a fractal expression of just how carried away I get, namely, very.
He's going to be awesome at parties. let's see. So we're talking... God, I got a billion.
I am currently very much enjoying watching all the Metafilter people freak out about the Rob Ford document released by police... I haven't checked in since yesterday.
Oh, they did release something. Okay, they didn't release the video.
They didn't release the video, but they released a document that talks about the video, and they also basically said, yeah, what people say about the video is basically true.
And did they really recover it from a wiped hard drive? Like these?
That's what I don't know. I haven't, like...
I
was enjoying
rumor.
It yesterday, and I haven't checked back in today, so I don't know what the new developments are. But there's a lot of Metafilter people who are very interested in it and watching them sort of talk about it as it happens, especially because it's not – I mean, because everybody's like, Rob Ford, what a fucking asshole. You know, like it's not like people are like, he got a bum rap or whatever. And so it's
not real contentious. It's not a lot of – arguing about the basic
he lied and was horrible and then really got caught, and then it's interesting watching how it's all happening.
There's a great tweet yesterday. It sounds like the writers are really tying everything together for the season finale of Toronto. I'm gonna be in Toronto in 2 weeks and I can't wait to see what it's like on the ground, if you'll be in handcuffs by then or what. Like,
oh nice, Toronto is awesome, that should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. He's still the mayor.
Is Rob Ford still mayor.com? Someone mentioned that in the comments.
I just saw a random tweet this morning that he called into a talk radio show posing as somebody else while drunk, going like, you guys should lay off Rob Ford. And the host was like, this sounds like Rob Ford. And like, apparently it was.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, like, wow, this is kind of amazing. That's funny. This is the story that just keeps on giving, man.
That's exactly it, which is one of the things that makes kind of an ongoing Metafilter thread the place you want to be to sort of figure out what's going on there.
Didn't this all start like a year ago, maybe? Like, it's been a while, right?
It's been in the works for a while, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've got a billion favorites. I don't know where to start.
Well, just pick one. Just go.
October 7th. Oh, if you know your shades of corporate blue, that was pretty good.
Don't know what that one is.
Yeah,
the corporate blue and the creator popped in to say, "Oh, I did not. I overlooked Metafilter. Metafilter's now in there," and I have some screenshots. Or sometimes you hit like something super hard, like Metafilter versus there was Facebook or Skype.
So
or
wait, it shows you multiple blues and you have to pick
it shows
which
you,
is...
It shows you one blue and two names and you have to decide which is the...
Yeah. And so
what is LinkedIn blue? Is LinkedIn blue?
Yeah, LinkedIn's... Well, its logo is blue, but the background isn't. But
hey, I just got Metafilter.
Yeah, some of them
and
are
I
like...
And I got it right.
Some of them are like Asana, which is like a work group app I've used before. I don't even know what Atlassian is. That some sort of like code?
I'm four for four. I'm changing. I'm skipping now.
I got some wrong, and then they repeat, and you'll get better at it. but it's surprisingly there's a lot of blues in a lot of popular sites that I had no idea. I never thought about.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know most of them.
Thank you, Antonymous.
But yeah.
Who I have met in Minneapolis, apparently.
You've met a lot of people. I love this. D-Link routers have a simple backdoor in their firmware.
Yes.
And it's like one of those standard, there's a security risk. This is probably Ars Technica. Oh, no, it's not. It's like some guy's blog, but it's so great if you read the blog post. This is by Curious New. The blog post, the guy kind of like, I got some Mountain Dew and a weekend night off, and I'm going to go through the file system on my router and figure some shit out. And it's a nice story of where he's just reverse engineering the whole thing. And he eventually finds that there's just this total hacky backdoor. And it's, was it Edit by Joel backdoor? It's like all spelled backwards, the code, like a perfect string. You can just fake your way into the administrator and change anything you want about it. And it's great how people in the thread also sort of walk through, why does this happen? How did this happen? People are like imagining all these like hallway conversations between a manager, and a programmer where you just go, well, sometimes people don't know their password, but they're on their home network and they just need to log on. So just make it happen, jerk, And so you have to put in these ridiculous things. And yeah, it's just kind of the whole thing I found really fascinating. I mean, it's a humongous security hole. Reading this thread and reading the post, I could totally walk myself through how this giant mistake happened.
Well, remember, like, on a Mac, like, if you had a Mac and you forgot your admin password, you could always boot from a CD and go into the utilities and reset the password and be okay. And it was one of those things that, like, kind of a security hole, but you had to have the original disks and they had to go with your hardware, so blah, blah, blah. I had a person who came into drop-in time with a MacBook Air that she'd forgotten the password on, and, like, she just set it up. She's like, I set it up. I'm like, so what's the password? She's like, I forgot. And it's one of those things where you're like, were you drinking? Like, you set this up less than 12 hours ago. But basically, she had a computer that she couldn't log into. And I'm like, well, the Airs don't have CD drives. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a nightmare. But it turns out you just reboot, hit Command R, go into the command line, type reset password, and it pops up a password reset thing for you.
Wow.
Like, it's... anyone could do it. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised because there has to be a way, right? Like,
well, I remember like working with a paranoid Linux guy, who used cache and skewed cell phones like 10 years ago. And he was always like, oh, physical access, you're fucked. Oh, if you get physical access, I can get in anything if I get physical access. And I never thought about what that meant. That's crazy. But I mean, it's useful, but crazy.
It is a little crazy. I mean, I don't know what happens on your phone. Like, nobody I know has had that sort of problem. But I was like, yep, there you go. Here's all your stuff. I just reset your password. It's now password. Write it down.
Wow, that's probably what the Genius Bar
They go
has
home
to
and
do.
Type in passwordwrited.
right. Yeah, I was just surprised it was that easy. And then I had another lady who's like, all my photos disappeared. And I'm like, what? And I go into her account. I'm like, you have two accounts. One's Bonnie and one's Bonnie K. She's like, what? I'm like, I don't know. What did you do? I don't know.
I just logged in. Yeah.
She's like, can you combine them? And I'm like, absolutely not. No, you cannot. No.
That's what I always hear when people go, my music disappeared. they're like, you have two iTunes or you have two accounts pointing to different iTunes. Like,
right.
They're both
there's
on the hard drive.
There's only one way this can happen. Yeah.
Right. They're both on the hard drive. It's just they're under two accounts and they hide them from each other. Like, that's not true. And it's always true. And then there's never an easy way. Like, why can't there just be one iTunes library shared by multiple users? And there's no easy way to do it.
Reasons.
Yeah.
Digital rights reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly. Yeah. Hollywood.
It might impinge on perceived profit margin. I really was delighted to see that there's a new video of that weird naked CGI mannequin bopping along.
The what do they call it? The quappy looking thing?
People seem to...
Wait, what do you mean there's a new one? What else there's is there? One.
Well, there. Well, okay, this post has two links. The
top
first
comment,
link is
the
new one.
The fuck did I just watch?
Yep.
Yep.
So originally there was the going to the store one, and then the late for a meeting one is a sequel. And right, I just love, like, these things with all my fucking heart. I don't
so
know what to tell
weird.
You.
It's like half-baked mathematics to make a human model walk down the street, kind of, but it just comes out gross and weird. And
there's not a real person in this.
Right, it's
no.
Just really nice CGI compositing combined with probably some intentionally
but like purposely bad,
whacked out
so kind of
motion
like
capture.
Hollywood CGI done with crayons, you know, by a five-year-old kind of idea, but like
it drives a car.
So funny, just yep. It walking. It's disturbing and strange, and
it drives.
I guess
a
this
car?
Is the second one.
Yeah, this is
I
the
don't
second
understand
one.
The driving the car thing. It's weird.
It's don't try too hard to understand it. It's just a thing. But I love it. I love it. I love it.
I just like the music. Boop, 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 yep. Boop, 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 boop.
And the music being apparently diegetic, so that it follows the... Yeah.
What does diegetic mean?
Happening basically within the sort of context of the story of the narrative. So, like, if someone's, like... If you're watching a movie and there's some Tom Petty playing and then someone reaches over and turns off the radio and it's off, that music was being treated at least nominally as diegetic. Versus, like, a song that plays over a montage is exegetic.
Sure, it's just completely external to the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
And obviously movies may play with the transition from one to the other sometimes, too. But yeah.
So, speaking of Metafilter threads where the titles are all in caps.
Nice.
Oh.
International Caps Lock Day was October 21st, and I always enjoy these threads. I don't know what crockety bloat means.
No one does.
That's it.
Lost the Ages, the secret of that. I completely missed Caps Lock Day. It's like,
really?
I, yeah.
Were you? What
I
day
don't
of the
know.
Week was it?
I don't know. I was not paying attention to
21st?
That. I guess.
That was a Monday. So you worked.
Oh, it's the post went up 2 hours after I got off the clock is what happened.
Oh, and then you didn't work Tuesday morning.
Yeah. So I missed the,
well,
the proper.
Caps Lock anagrams. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, except usually... for a couple occasional troll attempts, it was a super fun thread.
It's just bordering on noise. It's great.
It's a collective freak out. It's a fun time.
And people are all happy. No one gets mad.
I really loved the shit out of a post that went up yesterday about how do you make...
Oh, I love this too.
Yeah, how do you make Thomas Kincaid paintings better? You put some Star Wars in them, and just it's just a gallery of amazing, like, starship destroyers hovering over cozy little cottages. It's just great.
By user Joe.
So good.
And at.
Did you see the Ringo Starr takes a photo?
Yeah, that was really neat.
That was amazing.
I love that thread. Well, and it was funny because everybody acted like it was like Ringo Starr's art project, but like the Today Show were the people who actually tracked down those folks. But he was the one who, I guess, set the wheels in motion.
That's really cool.
Speaking of posts that have in their title the name of one of the keys on the keyboard that you press to toggle something on and off, and thus it's called a lock.
I don't understand. I'm completely, you locked me already.
Golf
but I look
segue.
Forward to saying.
Oh, yeah. Scroll down to Riker.
Because, like, scroll lock is also a key on the keyboard.
How do you pronounce this username?
Zingcat is what I say in my head, but it might be Xingcat or.
Shingcat?
Shingcat or.
I don't know. I was just curious.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, what is this, Josh?
Well, apparently, they say it's Zingcat, so. Hey, go me. This is a very simple thing. If it works, if it doesn't work, it probably just looks like a picture of Riker and
it
nothing.
Didn't work for me, but now it works.
But if you scroll down, it animates through a real charmer of a smile Riker gives in.
I've
some...
only been there once, but they've got this great club. Even Klingons need love now again.
If you just keep
are these all in order or are they just random?
Random.
They're random. I get the same ones over and over again.
The first time
that
I
is
don't...
cute.
Anyway, it's
again. I'm a little confused.
it's just a little dose of Riker. I don't know. I have no idea who made it or why, but I thought it was adorable, and people on Metafilter did too. Apparently,
it was so slow loading the first time I looked at it. All I got was the first frame and the last frame and the same message over and over. And I went, "Why do people love this so much?"
I mean, it's no Riker sitting down, but still. Man, someone should make a scroll down to Riker sit. That'd be a brilliant sequel.
You have to scroll up to get his leg to go over the chair.
Yeah. Up and then down, up and then down. Someone should make a Star Trek track and field game where you just do various really, really dumb little events like that. So, like, mash A and B to get your leg up and over the chair and sit down. And...
track and field.
I enjoyed this very brief post by Filthy Light Thief. Nothing makes a carrot more appealing than turning it into a centipede, which was basically a look at an old book called Aunt Jo and Uncle George's Critters of the Kitchen Kingdom from 1922, ooh, which is all about how to make weird little animals out of stuff you find in your kitchen. But it's just completely crazy, and the pictures are nuts, and warning, a little bit racist. But it's basically a single link blog post that I found completely delightful.
Wow, the ghost pizzas. Brilliant. That's mozzarella, and you probably use chopped black olives. Why didn't I think of that? Oh, man, these are great.
I remember I saw this pig wander around somewhere in the wilds, but did not know the context.
Oh, the lemon-shaped like a pig?
Yeah, the lemon pig.
When
lemon
does it
pig,
get racist?
Yeah, I was talking
now
about
I'm...
lemon pig.
Oh, my
just
God.
That, just... right. Yeah. Just terrible at that.
Is that a beet or something?
I don't even know.
Good God. It's 1922. A different time. Not a good time. But
I appreciated that he put the warning in the in the thread, because I would have been bummed. But, you know, Filthy Light Thief is kind of known for making these massive, detailed, epic posts. But this was just a great, like, single link blog. You'll like it. And people threw in some things they liked. And it was fun.
Did you see the Game of Thrones bad lip dub thing? Like,
I did not.
I think I saw this a week after it was on Metafilter. I went back to Metafilter to be like, huh, maybe I should post this, and I found it. I don't know how I missed it the first time. It was so good. It's funny. It's actually, like, ridiculously funny. It's
when does Game of Thrones start up again?
I don't know. Spring, I'm feeling like, maybe.
I'm going to have
later
to get
Wikipedia. Another funny video that's hilarious because it fits the... It's a meta movie, meta comedy called Air Borders, the true story of a rags to riches, you know, sport invention thing.
Oh, God, like, I saw this, yeah.
It's just a dumb 3 or 4 minute video that follows every sports movie you've ever seen, which is like, oh, these guys are innovating something. Like, it's making fun of mostly the skateboard movies, like Dogtown and Z-Boys.
And it's basically like guys who do little skateboarding with, like, a business card and your fingers out the window of a moving automobile.
Yeah, it's funny for, like, 30 seconds. Then you're like, wait, is this for real? Is this a... Because you can't tell if it... Was this really considered a sport sometime? But then you have the whole...
Did this happen? Right.
You have the
and
whole,
then,
like,
and then the band breaks
an
up. And...
Yeah, I have an agent. You're not into it anymore, man. And they have a fall out, and it's so great.
You're getting all just... poppy, Matt. I don't know what's going on with your janky setup, but...
you and your jank.
Still? Yeah.
Why you got a jank? Well, no, it's okay.
No.
Just,
stop.
Just there were several in a little row there.
It was like you were moving your head or something.
I think you were being too emphatic. You need to deaden yourself. You need to lose all joy in the world. It'll help with our sound quality.
Let me think of BuzzFeed. Okay. I have no joy.
I had one more I think I wanted to mention.
I
there
one
you go
more
again.
Too.
That's not it. That's the one you were just showing me. This is the narrating copying and pasting podcast. The incredibly deadly Deku Stick is a post Rory Marinich made about some guy beating a classic Nintendo 64 Zelda game called Ocarina of Time in just over 22 minutes.
And it's supposed to be impossible,
which I
right?
guess is speedy.
It's very speedy. Like normally, if you were going to play the game, you'd spend hours and hours playing it. But if you were playing the game well as a normal person, you would still spend hours playing it. But this manages to play it by breaking it significantly to jump past almost all of the game by exploiting various weird little broken things in it. And it's neat because not only, I mean, it's this guy playing this game, but that may not make a whole lot of sense to you if you're not familiar with the game, and it's a little bit by design jarring the way things happen on screen. But the guy's also actually narrating what he's doing, as well as sort of the past history of people doing these sequence breaking speed runs of
That's
this game.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, it's sort of like him giving an oral history of how it got to the point of him being able to do the thing he's doing based on all the work everybody else did before him. And this is all part of this charity fundraiser that raised a ton of money. I guess they do this every year. They just raise a bunch of money for charity by getting people to donate while watching live streams of people doing speed runs. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Ooh, wow.
So the whole thing's neat, and as usual, the thread fills up with links to fun other weird speed runs.
Other speed runs.
Broken video game things. And
neat.
Here was the last one that I had, which was a fascinating single article, mostly single article post by Weesh.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The I met a convicted serial killer and he made me feel more loved than anyone else in my life. In short, it's about there was a serial killer guy who used to pick up young Marines and hitchhikers on the West Coast and kill them. And he killed somewhere between 10 and 50 people. And then at some point, one of the guys, a guy who had been a young Marine and had met this dude but not been assaulted or attacked or killed by him, wrote an article about what it's like to kind of have the attention of a sociopath on you and yet sort of escape unscathed. And it's an interesting article. And the thing that was the most interesting is that the author of the article actually showed up in the thread and not just said oh, hey, that's me, but stuck around to sort of have conversations about the nature of sociopathology and whatever else. And it was just a really the article itself was interesting, and the thread was there was some discussion that happened that was kind of neat. If you're one of those people who likes long form essays about complicated topics, you would enjoy this one a lot.
Oh yeah, you forgot to mention one aspect where I think he stumbled onto a story of serial killers, and this guy was supposed to be more prolific than all the famous ones we know about, but he's just not famous for some reason, the serial killer. And he's on Wikipedia, he pulled it up and went, oh my god, that's that guy I spent the day with.
And basically the guy had taken his picture, and he asked the cops who had, I mean, the guy's in prison now, and
right,
but he basically sort of asked the cops is there a photograph of me with all the photographs of the dead guys. And also, of course, talking about how having the sort of laser beam intensity of this guy, he made me feel more loved than anyone ever before. The guy listened and paid attention and was super sort of, it was a very kind of confusing and attracting interaction that then being reconsidered in light of what he knew now became a very different thing to think about.
Yeah. I read the whole thing the other day and, it was very compelling. The only thing I didn't jibe with me was the author's insistence that maybe he was in love with the guy after one day, and that it was this magic moment, and he's swears up and down he's completely lives a heterosexual life, and that this has always confused him slightly. And I was just I don't know.
Right. Well, there's a lot of paths to go down of questioning.
I couldn't cross that bridge. That was it sounds like a pretty good day with a pretty interesting person, but I wouldn't say you fell in love, really.
I don't know. Well, it wasn't even a good day. I mean, they went back to this hotel room and had a very intensive set of interactions.
Well, he talks about 8 hours of talking back and forth, and that's always fun with a stranger if you can actually connect that well. The whole day, it ends oddly, right, at the hotel room. But it sounds like it was a wonderful day until then. And even, pushing the boundaries, the whole thing is weird. And then, when he breaks down, how serial killers actually work, it's creepy also at the same time. Oh, man. Yeah, that was fascinating. My last post, I would give you a small to-do. I like this post with this little 2-minute clip of Aziz Ansari doing a bit from the new stand-up special. This came out a week or two ago, and it's a funny little thing about how strange marriage is if you think about it in a completely, if you've never heard of marriage ever, it's actually, there are some strange aspects of it. But I was like disappointed when this came out because it's like, there's a new hour-long special, but you can't see it till November 1st. But thank God today is November 1st, so I can...
So can we go pay Aziz $5 and go watch this?
No, it's on Netflix, the streaming.
I don't have the Netflix.
Ah, well, you can sign up for Netflix trial and watch it and cancel, but it's on Netflix streaming. I don't know why
you can't... Last time I could give him $5.
I know. Sometimes they'll do a deal where, like, 2 months after it's on HBO or Netflix, they're allowed to sell it, maybe.
Nah, I'll just wait for it. He's usually pretty good. Although, I don't know. Single Aziz was a little tougher in his last special than the one before.
Yeah, he doesn't sell it. Nope, he's not selling it. It's only on Netflix. But it came out today, so at least I can watch it.
So at least you can watch it.
Yeah, so I'm happy that I don't have to wait another day to see it. So I'll watch it tonight, and it'll be good. So that's it. Anything else?
I just wanted to mention... Oh, sorry, Josh.
I was just going to say no, so...
Jim and I just finished our music... Metafilter Music did a the music challenge was like the request raffle,
right?
And Jim pulled the one. I have a very small friend named Evie. She's 8 months old and would appreciate a child song with her name in it. And so Ooh. Jim and I made a
what rhymes with Evie?
With nothing. We didn't even, but we made like a kid song that not only had like her name in it, it's got the names of her dogs and a whole bunch of like doofy sound effects that I was very pleased with. So people who are looking for kid songs. Yeah, I sing on it. I designed the music, and then Jim played the music, and then we both scared up all the sound effects. It's a fun kid song. Just in case somebody hadn't mentioned anything about Metafilter Music.
Hey, if somebody hadn't forgotten that we were doing a podcast, someone probably would have been a little more prepared for that. But,
I'm just saying I'm trying to help. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate it. You're on it. Way to be.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Jim uploaded it like last. I mean, it was due like November 1st or the end of October. So we uploaded basically last night before, between the time I went to bed and when I woke up this morning.
Actually, you know, I am going to mention one music thing because I remember being delighted by We Are the Music Makers' post of a song called Pixelated Lines, which is just a super, super weird interpretation of Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. And it's fantastically creepy. All the more so if you've thought about the problematic nature of the lyrics of the original song. So
I enjoyed Uncle Ozzy's first comment. I hate you and I hate this. And then in parentheses, it's wonderful, really unsettling.
Oh, wow. It's robots doing the lyrics? Ooh.
Maybe I'm going blind. Maybe I'm out of my mind.
You're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And speaking of which, actually, Uncle Ozzy also posted something awesome. Another request one. Are You Being Served? The theme song to that old British sitcom with the people working in the department store. And yeah, he did an awesome, awesome fucking reinterpretation of that theme song. So that was pretty damn great, too.
Nice.
So there you go.
Way to go, Uncle Ozzy.
Yeah.
Music Awards. I saw a hilarious video. That's it. Attenborough'd.
Oh, the Attenborough.
the
Attenborough'd version of the Miley Cyrus dance, which is hilarious. That was the first time I'd actually watched the whole dance from start to finish, or at least part of it.
So good.
Oh, they should have called it Attenborough'd, though.
Oh, snap. That's like when someone said we should have called this the entire time the Modcast, and I went, yep. I slammed my head against the table going, why did we not call it the, that's so obvious.
Yep.
So why isn't there a challenge page on the music site for the, do you wait till the challenges are over or someone?
Or I forget and no one reminds me this time. I thought I had put that up.
The top one is the Bowie challenge.
Yeah, no, it should have the raffle thing up there. If it's not there,
yeah,
it's just...
put the raffle one so I can link to it.
Yeah, no,
put the
up
raffle
there.
One so we can link to it.
Yes, now that we've got, boom. Especially since we've got a revamped PB, slightly altered the code so that it'll correctly pull in all the challenge entries over a period of more than a month.
Thanks, PB.
So go Paul.
Awesome.
Go Paul.
Yay.
So Windows updates tonight.
Yes, yep. That'll be exciting.
Red Sox parade tomorrow.
Really? I thought they already had it. No?
No, it's tomorrow, which I found out because I'm going down to visit Jim in Boston, and he's like,
Jesus.
I'll try and get you at the train station, but it's, oh my God.
All right, we're done.
Good podcast, everybody.
It was great to talk to you guys. Have a good weekend.
See you in a month.
All right, bye. Mm-hmm.